Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 311, part 2, the conclusion to Hungers. Today is Sunday, September 29th, 2013.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Tower, princes kept the view, while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
Sometimes people just buy things because they're a bargain. You watch this on TV, and I have a little bit of business sense. I watch this, and I know there's money to be made on this cable TV. They have these items, and they sell them. Toot, toot. They have a little horn that blows on there. And, well, you're the double purchaser here tonight. Toot, toot. They blow their little horn. Yeah, they get hooked on it. Now look at this necklace here, and they probably got so many necklaces that it covers up their total neck. It's all right until they get the computerized bill, and they start to unfold this thing, and it goes all across the stage. It keeps unfolding and unfolding and unfolding. There's your bill. Here's the cost. Sitting there paying a part of Mr. Big, and that's the same way with all life stores. Maybe we pay the full price and an inferior item is sent. It isn't what we thought. But as time goes on, nature, representing then the store of life, more than equalizes the goods by extras. And it doesn't look so good when you get it. But a lot of good things happen out of it. I talked to a couple, and they had this little one, and this is years back, and here we are, we're retiring. And now we're stuck with this little one that was the best thing that ever happened to them down the line. A lot of extras came into their life. It brought love into their life that they didn't have. It brought a point of interest in their life that they didn't have. And so sometimes there's a lot of extras that come out of that commitment. Girls, maybe you won't get the Tarzan you want, but the man you get turns out to be the best. Besides, Tarzan's got a terrible wardrobe. I've only seen him in one outfit. Very low vocabulary. All he does is, King of the Apes, isn't that what he's called? Tarzan of the Apes, something like that. So don't go ape over Tarzan. He has extras. He buys the clothes. He has compassion. He has love. He has understanding. And he has a job. Now it's important to point that out. A girl called me up and she said, "Well, I just waited for this guy. I've wanted him." I says, "Settle down now, dear." And I waited for him a long time. I did. It turned out he was just fooling me all the time. I says, "Praise God you found out." "Don't say that. Don't say that." And so I ministered to her and prayed with her. She hung up on me. Well, she wanted Ape Man. And then a couple years later, she brought this fellow in. Nice, clean-looking young man. Sense of humor. He had compassion. And he had love. And he had understanding. And he had more than a loincloth on. He had a job. And they were happy. Well, I said, "Whatever happened to Tarzan?" She says, "Well, he's probably swinging through the trees yet. I don't know." Or maybe you find joy that sets your heart a-leaping and a-jumping. And you're so delighted over what seems to make your life a guaranteed joy. "I got joy. Nothing's going to take that joy away from me. This is what I've been waiting on. I got an inheritance, or I got this great job, or this position, or this. Now I'll never ever be sad again." Don't say that. Man is never satisfied. Outside of loving Jesus and working for the Lord, you will never be satisfied. Never. "Well, if I had $1 million, I'd be satisfied." I would. "You mean to tell me," and people argue about it, "you mean to tell me if you had $10 million, you wouldn't be happy?" Well, my joy doesn't count on that. I'm happy now. Are you happy now? No, I'm waiting for my ship to come in. I don't buy that, being poor. Are you hearing this? Oh, it looks so good. It looks so wonderful. So now this is it. In the short time, you find out it was worthless. Something you really wanted. Something you just promised yourself, "If it's the last thing I do, I'm going to get it. I want it. I want it to be mine, and I don't care." Talking about man, woman, jewelry, cars, houses, whatever. "And if I have that, I'll really be satisfied. That's all I want in my life. Oh, God, just give me this one thing. I pray, but please, just give me this one thing. I promise." Liar. How many times you promise God, "Just give me this one thing, and I'll never ask for anything ever, ever again"? The world, the shopping store, the supermarket, the world, with everything in it, you're running around with your shopping cart. You never get enough of that wonderful stuff. And so I said, in a short time you find out it's worthless. Sometimes even a misplaced trust in a few words of special, let's say, confidence may wreck the happiness of long years. Somebody you trusted, somebody that you thought, hey, this person I can really trust. We had our moment of consolation, but the price proved far too high, getting even. Do you buy getting even? I'll get even if it's the last thing I do. I will get even. No one does that to me. I'll get even. You wait and see. Huh? Do you buy that? Oh, does that ever cost you? You go to bed with that person at night. You get up with that person. You brush your teeth with them in the morning. You comb your hair with them in the morning. You can't go no place. That person's sitting right next to you. Sitting in your car, sitting in your next to you at school, sitting in your, wherever you go, they're there. That's a high price to pay. And this person isn't even thinking nothing about you. Could care less. I'll get even if it's the last thing I do. Don't buy that. I think there are times, though, when those from whom we expect the least prove to be the most inspiring. Have you ever had that happen? I don't expect nothing out of that person. And they turn out to be the most inspiring, the most helpful, the most understanding, the kindest, the most gentle, the most courageous. You say, well, I never would have believed it. Isn't that a pleasant thing? You didn't pay a penny for it. See, they bought you. I'll buy that. This guy looks like he's really having problems. This person looks like they're really... I'll buy that. I want to buy into their suffering. What is the most important thing we have on this earth, after all, if it isn't people? Isn't there a song like that? People, people who love people are the greatest, wonderfulest people in the world, or something like that. And I think also we must often pay most for our mistakes, even more than our crimes. When people make mistakes, don't they make them pay? Well, I think this Jim and Tammy Baker are going to pay for the rest of their life over a mistake. Well, who's going to make them pay? People will make them pay. Yeah. A doghouse, air-conditioned doghouse. Wow. Well, some of the people that are air-conditioned are worse than dogs, aren't they? Aren't they? We got something against dogs? We'll make them pay. Gold faucets. Oh, boy, they'll pay for that for the rest of their life. Mark it down. Who's going to pay? You will. You will pay. That kind of sub-gutter thinking, you pay. You live in a gutter thinking like that. Now, I just use them because they're a wonderful example of what brotherly love can do to you. Too much of it could almost kill you. That's like a mistake in marriage. You pay for it for the rest of your life. In one way or another. Now, if you're shopping, listen on the radio here now on this tape. If you're shopping for a mate, and people do, they go out in the store of life and they shop for a mate. Oh, look at that hunk. Oh, double hunk. 10 plus, double hunk. Oh, I gotta have him. She's a 10. Gotta have her. Watch out what you buy. Never shop when you're too hungry. I'm so hungry. I've been waiting for 35 years for the right man to come along. I've been waiting 40 years. Well, take it from me, stay single. If it isn't the right person, you will pay for it for the rest of your life. See, we're always buying a lot of junk food, it seems like, and end up paying the price. But under all activities, the hurry and rush and the seeming confusion of the store of life, there is a quiet, restful system bringing order out of chaos. You know what that is? Nature is ever working for us. See, it's people who work against her. That's like natural childbirth. And so natural childbirth, what does that mean? It means it's natural. So then they send everybody to school to show them how to grunt. What's natural about that? Read this book, and the husband, he learns how to grunt too. Huh? And they grunt together. Huh? What's natural about that? Is that natural? And they have TV cameras now, and they record everything. Huh? Why do they call it natural? Now, over in Greece, you know what they do? They have the baby come out of the field, put the baby over in the kitchen, bundle it up, go back out and go to work. It was a natural childbirth. Here, they make such a big fuss over it, I'm just telling you, you know what I mean? It's not natural anymore. Baby's got 14 doctors and 14 nurses and... Oh, well, come on. No, nature, if you'll allow it, is always working for you. See, God wants us to be balanced, not unbalanced. Everything, in other words, we buy is taken into account. You buy that, and it's taken into account. Every good act goes on the books, and every evil act also. No wrong, no unkind, no selfish, no mean, no cruel, no petty act or series of them, even though they seemingly go, you know, unpunished for a time. I got away with that. I was the meanest, most unkind, cruelest, pettiest person, and I got away with it. And I'm smiling. Seems like everything's coming up roses. I don't know. I get away with it. People just don't seem to notice it. I'm that way. You're going to have to pay for it sooner or later. Nature always takes its course. It's like that baby I talked. You can grunt all you want to. Baby's still going to come right on time when it's supposed to come. There's a natural thing. And all of a sudden, it's the way it is. And also then, in fairness to this message, no act of kindness, of compassion, of love, of unselfishness goes by unnoticed. It is all recorded, every bit of it. And so how we have shopped and what we have bought is all recorded. And so we must learn to seize those opportunities. Maybe you bought something years ago. Well, you always have to pay for what you bought. I'm not talking about forgiveness now. Forgiveness of sins is there, but there's a price. There's a price. You have to pay that price. Maybe somebody out there, you know, he's talking about, let's get on with this thing now. I mean, here, I'm not getting calls from people. I don't know, all of a sudden I'm getting calls about people, should I get married, blah, 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 and so on like that. Well, I don't know. Count the cost. Well, Pastor, are you married? No. How come? Well, I'm just not. But I will tell you this. Count the cost. And so we must learn how to shop wisely and not waste time. Time's a-wasting. And don't buy everything that's brought before you. Ever seen compulsive buyers? Everything. How about this? I'll take it. How about this? I'll take it. I've watched these things down here at Dayton's and Donaldson's. They have a sale, see, and they raise everything. And I'm just using this so that you'll understand what I'm saying here and the spiritual content of this message. And they'll lower the price on one thing, raise the price on everything else. And the women will go in there and they'll pull one leg of the pants apart and this leg, and they got that. They're content to take that one leg home. This is mine. Be careful of all the voices that call out from you from the world. Over here, buy this. It's like a carnival. It's like hell. It's like Pinocchio. You ever see that show, Pinocchio? The old version of it? You ever read it? Now they got new versions of this. I hate that one. They have real good old, you know, nursery rhymes, nursery stories and so on like that. And they change them and make them modern. And they ruin them. Because they lose their content. Okay, well, I'm enough said about that. But this Pinocchio of the world is always calling out, buy this. Well, I hear someone on the radio saying, well, then why doesn't the Store of Life issue a great big old huge catalog and make purchasing so much easier for us so we'll know what to buy? Ain't fair. And so we would like to have the goods accurately described. Is that it? With the prices fully marked and with all the extras written down and how much they will cost, those little extra goodies. So we would make fewer mistakes. Is that right, radio audience? In our buying. And have fewer bad memories. No. See, a warning would not stop you anyway. Because you want what you want when you want it. Now. And so all of us, sooner or later, come to this realization that the most constant source of daily pain comes from the Store of Life, not from the Store of Life, I should say, but from its customers. We buy a lot of things we don't really need. We buy into this group, and we buy into this group, and we buy into this junk, and we buy into gossip, and we buy into contention and rivalry, and we buy into all kinds of things. And so humanity, after all, creates most of its own suffering. Isn't that right? I just wonder sometimes. I mean, the Bible is so clear. Instead of making bombs, why don't we just start to produce food and put all of the farmers to work? Don't worry about the gas and the oil and everything. Start up all them great big old honkers that burn up 40 gallons a minute, and they plow about 2 acres at one swat. And rev them up and let's go and feed the world. I don't even know what people do out there. They say, well, these guys gone nuts. And just feed everybody. Feed them in Africa and feed them in China and feed them if they're having a on starvation diets over here in Russia, and just feed everybody and just get on. Well, what are you people doing? We're doing the Lord's work. Here, take that. Give them throw a great big 40-pound tomato at them. How do you like that? About the difference between a hydrogen bomb and an A-bomb. These are the big babies. Here's a ball stick. Here's a 90-pounder. Whoop! All you have to lay underneath it. Eat your way out. Why not? Well, I mean, it's so simple, isn't it? People are hungry. It is the cruelty, it is the meanness, it is the selfishness, it is the weakness, it is the lying, it is the treachery of individuals to one another. Oh, we can be so treacherous with one another. Oh, yes, we can. Treacherous. Isn't that a word? Treacherous. Yeah, most heartaches, aren't they man-made? Well, now you always hurt the one you love, huh? The one that loves you most of all. Hmm? Now, we need to take on the responsibility for what we say, not only for what we say, but for what we do. Take on a responsibility not only for what you say, but for what you do.
Well, you know what I got to say about that?
Now here comes some real pearls of wisdom. Let us all gather around like the stock market guy, I forget his name. Speak and everybody falls silent. Barnum and Bailey or something like that. Doesn't matter, I don't care. I make up names. Don't worry about it. Got the attention of a few people on the radio. No, we need to take on our responsibilities. What you say holds a lot of weight. Then we'd watch what we do. And we'd watch what we'd say. If we would take on the responsibility of our mouth. And see, if we do good and we think good and we act out good. And then when that supreme hour of real grief, when the heart seems broken in its helplessness, we find nature has been reserving all of those do good, think good, act out good things and putting them into a bank account. All of our payments for courage. And we've been building these things and we didn't keep account, but nature keeps account. And so we have heart. And we have the mind of Christ. And we have all these things. Because he didn't resort to ridiculousness. I don't even know if there is such a word. Fit in there good. And so we have all of those things there. And we find out after all that we have strength. And that we have loyalty. No, you wouldn't want somebody having the same thing happen to me. And so we have loyalty and we have strength and we have faith. And you have that sterling character. And it returns it all to us with interest. When you need it, it's there. Because nature keeps record. God keeps score. There's an account. And you go ahead and you do those things that God wants you to do. And you're dedicated to the cause of Christ. And when you need that strength in that hour of need, it's there. It comes on strong when you need it. You don't even know. Oh, you know, I wonder how I got through this thing. It was built into your nature. You dedicated yourself to the cause of Christ and for humanity and the nature of things. And when you needed it the most and there was no one else around, you had the strength and the loyalty and the courage and the faith to go on. Somehow, God was reserving it in his reserve banks for you. Oh yeah, there are times in our lives when we're lonely and tired. Bodily weak and soul strained and starved. When we have paid the high price for what we hunger for and it's then denied. We then doubt that good, honest, square living pays off. And we wonder why those that live and lead selfish and trivial and nonsense lives and seem to be the most prosperous and the most happy. But don't you see, all we see is a seeming success, not the price they are paying for it. You're only looking at the outside of the veneer of it.
What was the price of that thing? We can never be told, nor can we ever know the terrible price someone has paid for a wealth wrongly acquired. I'm sure if you knew the price, you wouldn't buy it. I had a friend years ago. He was a tremendously he's just a real loving person. And how he wanted this girl. He wanted, and she was just gorgeous, see. This is all he could think about. This is his main thing he wanted in all of life. And so he built himself up to this and got himself into, schooling and this and that, all for that one goal. And finally, he won her hand. And she come from a very rich, wealthy family. And was he happy? No. And everybody would look at him, boy, look at this beautiful woman he's got. Oh, you lucky guy. Wow. And she's got money, and she comes... Wow, this is just fantastic. You made it. Oh, God. I think he slept in the attic. I don't know. But I know he paid a price. Was it worth it? What is that song? Marry yourself an ugly wife, be happy for the rest of your life. No, I'm not saying that to them. I mean, there's a lot in that. Marry someone outside of what you think. No, we can never be told, we'll never know the terrible, terrible price that people pay for what they got. You say, boy, if I only could be like so-and-so. You don't know the misery that they're in. I'm sure if you did know the price, you wouldn't buy it. Or some, let's say, foul act of treachery that for a time seemed successful. Someone did some terrible wrong. Maybe they lied about somebody. Maybe they gathered a group and they applauded them. Boy, you just really had the discernment. Your discerners were really working out there, Charlie. They seemed successful. Some seeming happiness and love, power, position, possession, property, or prosperity, or whatever. And sooner or later, nature has a collector of the store of life on such bills. Payday. It never loses sight of a customer. You're all customers. You all take a number. 9,047,000. 9,000,000. Look at your number, please. And you go through your pockets. There's a little crinkled up old thing that you bought, a receipt. 9,047,000.
Payday.
What'd you do to get that thing you wanted so badly? See, the store of life, and I'm closing this message, deals with individuals. Humanity, after all, is only an infinity of individuals. And he who inherits a fortune thinks it comes free a lot of times. Oh, I'll never forget going up to my uncle's ranch up in Northern California. He took me through the whole thing, and I've told this before, but it fits in with this message so readily. And he ran me through the couple of ranches and the houses and the cars and the truck and the so on like that. Now, as soon as I'm showing you all this, because it's all yours when I die, and I want you to come up here and take care of it. And I stood there thinking about this for about 3 minutes. I says, I don't want it because I'm not coming up here. My ministry is in Minneapolis. And if you do decide to give me any of this, I'm going to sell it all and give it to the Lord. Needless to say, I didn't get any of it. It'd be too big a price to pay.
That's a big price to pay. To quit everything that God has called you to do and go up and take care of some sway-backed horses? No. No, I've been through a little bit of living. I know that all that glitters is not gold. Yeah. I suppose there'll be a little bit of infighting over that money now, I suppose, won't there? Oh, well, one thing I don't have to worry about, I won't be in it. That's one thing I won't have to worry about. No, it doesn't come free. No, a lot of times the first person that made the fortune paid with blood and sweat and tears and lies and pain and sorrow and heartaches, much arguing, much debate, and just plain work. But the beneficiary pays in new cares, new responsibilities. The first paid to win it, the second pays to keep it. There's a price. You get all the inheritance and the rest of your family hates you. Well, maybe they would never ever talk to you again. There's a price. There's always prices to pay in the store of life. Now, payment of price does not mean an absolute equivalent at the store of life. I'm not saying that. Any more than it does on some of those little shops. We pay much more or less than the article is worth. Then you go into one of these stores like 7-Eleven or Tom Thumb. He puts his thumb in your eye so you can't see what he's ripping you off with. 7-Eleven, that sounds like a gamble just to go in there. 7-11, huh? Yeah. You pay $7 one place, you pay $11 there. It is always the simple, the true, the real things that are the finest wares. The honor and the truth and the justice and the love and the loyalty and the sympathy for, I think, all those other fine characteristics that give sunshine, that give optimism, that give joy, that give radiant sweetness. And simplicity to countless and thousands. They can never be bought by money. They are bought by overcoming, the Bible says, more than overcomers. You overcome, well, then you bought that thing. You had to overcome for it, but you bought it. It was a challenge, and you feel good about it. By courageous bearing up, having done all stand. Oh, now you bought it. By going through. By going through sorrow, by going through heartache, by going through isolation. By going through trials and lonesomeness. They come from a conquered self. These great, these unchangeable, simple things of life cause many an hour of bitter sorrow, a broken heart, a moan in the night of silence. The courage to be misunderstood takes courage. And then again, it seems like God sends some angel of love. One dear, true, kind, tender-hearted, beautiful person who understands, who says, keep going, it's worth it. Somebody with some experiential wisdom. And so don't fear the store of life and its high inflationary prices. No price could be too high. We have fought for a fine character and we have won it. Not probably as far as man is concerned. We have hungered for great love and it came. Life has given its best. We have made the wise purchase at the store of life. We bought those things that Jesus said to buy, not what teachers said to buy or Satan says to buy. Try this. And so a good character, I'm saying in short here, is costly. You may even die looking terrible to people, but hey, you know and God knows. That's great. It's really worth buying when you know yourself. The Bible says, know thyself. You know and God knows. Who else has to know anything? Every man, it says in the Bible, is a liar. God is the only one that's true. I mean, to have no character at all, isn't that hell? No character whatsoever. If, after all, isn't that kind of a hell? How many are walking around with little or no good character at all? Because of fear or rebellion or jealousy or buying poor habits or shopping at bargain counters or buying yesterday's bread or whatever. And so suffering, after all, friends, is worth it. You're buying into that. You're buying into the suffering of Jesus Christ, and there is a cost, and it's a character builder. But I'll tell you something, you come out on with a joy in the end of it. The rest of stuff is a facade. Let trials come and tribulations come, and don't fear it. Start buying love and faith and hope and friends. And I'm not saying you buy them with money. Are you hungry for these? Then there is a price. You know what the price of those things are? Love, faith, hope, and friends. You know what it is? Your life. You got to get into it. You got to give your life. Your sick character for the character of Christ. Now, isn't that buying something? Isn't that a challenge that's worth going for? Why not buy into that? Yeah, why not buy into that? I mean, there's so many things we shop for. I just got to have it. No, you don't have to have it. And it says these things will be added on to you. Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. You know, all these other things will be added on to you. Maybe by the time that you love God so much, you'll be too busy. You won't have time for all this other old junk over there. God has his ways. They're way above your ways, and his thoughts are way above our thoughts. Is there anyone in here tonight that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior? You can know him tonight. I'll tell you, so much in the Word of God, so much to know. And it all comes through experiences. Every bit of it. They can make you or they can break you. Right? Isn't that right, guys, back there? It can make you or it can break you. What do you want it to do to you? Why don't you just buy into it? I don't know if I buy that. I want to buy the suffering of Jesus Christ? Oh, well, the price is too high. I don't know. I'll take the easy road. There's no easy road. Stop looking for easy roads. People are always looking for the easy way what? Not in, the easy way out. Right? Are you born again? Are you born again, young man? Give me your hands. I'm glad you came here tonight. Give me your other hand. What's your name?
Joe.
Joe. Joe. Oh, it's beautiful. Joe, just pray me with you, okay? Say, Dear Lord Jesus.
Dear Lord Jesus.
I am a sinner.
I'm a sinner.
Come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
And save me.
And save me.
And now, Jesus.
And now, Jesus.
Baptize and fill me.
Baptize and fill me.
With God's Holy Spirit.
With God's Holy Spirit.
And with a new language.
With a new language.
I'll praise your holy name.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Joe. And you know, Joe, you're a new shopper compared to me, but I mean, you know, you're all buying something.
There you have it. That was the conclusion to episode 311. That was part two, Two Hungers. If you missed part one, just go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. There you're going to find all of Pastor Paul's podcasts, show notes, and scripture links. You can also find the podcast by going to www.pastorpaul.org. Up at the top of the homepage, you'll find links to the blog, the podcast, and Twitter. Be sure to join us next Friday for part one of Hurry. Have a great week, and God bless you.
You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict dancing on the stage. Money, drugs at your command, women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief. Gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
It may be a state trooper. It may be a young Turk. Maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor, you may be blind or lame, maybe living in another country under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a construction worker working on a home. Might be living in a mansion. You might live in a dome. You may own guns and you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord. You may even own banks. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a preacher, preacher, spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. You may be somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Might like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk. Might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread. Maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes, indeed,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy. You may call me RJ. You may call me Ray. You may call me anything. No matter what you say, you're still gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, and it may be the Lord.
but you're gonna have to serve somebody.